Right, Shalom Bayis. Nativ is a place that values teaching you things that you're going to need for life. You know, I was amazed sitting here after davening this morning, listening to Dr. Krug talk that, you know, and appreciating the values of his insights. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way anyone else in the room, being that, you know, all you guys are yeshiva bachurim and are not at that stage in life, have any idea how valuable what he's saying really is. And it's amazing that you're given the opportunity to hear those things now, even though you don't yet know what it really means. Because those things are going to be in the back of your head. Those things will be there when you need them. And you'll learn to think differently because of that. So it will change your relationships. It will give you the tools to have better relationships. So Nativ is always thinking, is always forward thinking. They're not just thinking about making yeshiva bachurim happy while you're in yeshiva. They're thinking about making really good adults, making sure that you're going to be adults who are going to be able to be great contributors to the Jewish community. So maybe I had some thoughts recently about Jewish leadership and about what it means to be involved in the Jewish community and klal work. And being that most of you in this room at some point or another, even though it may seem very far off, are going to be called upon to be on the board of a shul or a school or otherwise involved in klal work, whether even if it's not on the klei kodesh side, even if it's not in rabbanus or in chinuch or anything of that nature, you're going to be the leaders of, you know, of your respective communities wherever it might be. So I thought maybe I would share some ideas that have been going through my head. And I want to tell you why these ideas have been going through my head recently. It's not something I ever really thought about much before, and I'm still sort of formulating it. Recently, there's someone that was very, very involved in the yeshiva where I send my children, the elementary school where I send my children, not the RS, the elementary school where I send my children, who I worked very closely with on a number of things, hiring a principal and other educational issues of the yeshiva, who recently passed away. And his name was, I don't know if anyone here from the Five Towns maybe knows, his name was Roby Flegman. He was a very, very special man. And he got me thinking a lot. You know, I wasn't particularly close with him in the sense that I wouldn't describe him, like, I'm presumptuous enough to call him my friend, but I don't think, you know, you could describe us as, like, you know, we don't go out for beers like I do with the rest of my friends. But there's a certain admiration that I had, and a lot of things I learned from him about what it means to be a really, really good Sibur Klal Yisrael dedicated person. And I wanted to share some of the things that are just coming together in my head about that with you, being that this is a very future-oriented yeshiva, thinking about, you know, where you guys are going to be in the future. And we'll do it with Torah. We'll start with the Dvar Torah, and then we'll work our way into that. You know, we're raised with the notion that Klal Yisrael has something really specially unique to us, in that we are very unified. We are a people who love each other. We are all brothers. If someone is hurting in Klal Yisrael, it's like a limb of the body that's hurting, where it hurts the entire body, and you're always thinking about it. And, you know, there are some things that, like, that we're so trained to believe that there could be like a mountain of evidence to the contrary, and yet we still believe it. You know, you think about the unity of Klal Yisrael, and, you know, pretty much most of what we see, unfortunately, really tells us to the contrary, that we don't really get along all that great. And there's a lot of fighting within Klal Yisrael, but every once in a while it comes out. You know when the unity of Klal Yisrael really comes out? You guys probably know. When do we really see it? When do we see that tragedy? Let's even broaden it beyond just death. When there's tragedy, when there's something terrible that happens, when in Rahman al-Islam there are terror attacks, when there's a common enemy that's after us, when someone gets terribly ill, when I don't know if you heard last week in the New York area, two young women in separate communities went missing for a while. One of the stories ended very badly, and one of them ended more happily. But in both communities, hundreds of people of all stripes of Klal Yisrael came out to help in the search effort for these people who went missing. And that's where it really comes out, where you really see that tremendous unity that you don't really find in other people. That's where we have our Mika Amcha Yisrael moments. Wow, how great Klal Yisrael is. That the pinnacle of that, the greatest level we ever reached of Achdus, where it didn't take a tragedy for it to occur, was in this week's parsha. Was where we have Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah. We have, you know, Parshas Yisro. It's amazing that someone just told me, they asked Rav Nevinsel, why is it that the parsha is called Parshas Yisro if it's the parsha where you have the Aseres Hadibros and Kabbalah Sadot? Like, there's some important things happening in this parsha. Why would we call it Parshas Yisro? He's like, because it's one of the first words of the parsha. Okay, so there may be other answers also, but that's what you know, Rav Nevinsel likes to give the shortest answer generally. So there may be other answers also, but in that moment where we were being makabel the Torah, where Vayichan Yisrael Negad Ahar, Klal Yisrael Vayichan, it says not Vayachanu Negad Ahar, that we stood there, and Rashi comments, what does it mean we encamped there by the mountain in the singular? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. That we were completely one person, one heart, one goal, one vision. We're all together in this. Fantastic. 3 million Jews, all together, all believing the same thing, all wanting the same thing. The problem is that we are not the only people that are described with those four words. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. The order is a little bit different, but those four words are used to describe none other than Mitzrayim. In last week's parsha, we're running away from Mitzrayim. They're chasing after us. We get to the Yam. V'nei Mitzrayim noseya acharehem. Says Rashi. What does Rashi say? B'lev echad ki ish echad. It happens to be someone told me, if you look in the Medrash, by Mitzrayim it actually only says B'lev echad, and by Klal Yisrael it really only says Ki ish echad. It's funny that Rashi put them both together. He just changed the order. But Mitzrayim is also described as having this incredible unity. If they're also described as having this incredible unity, what makes us so special? Why is our unity any different than theirs? That's one. One question to think about, and we'll bring it back. Second question, or just issue to think about. Paro decides to chase after us in last week's parsha. Torah tells us they did something far beneath the dignity of, let alone a king, far beneath the dignity of anyone, any head of state, even like a democratically elected head of state. What did he do? Vayesar Zichbo. He harnesses these chariots all by himself. That's the equivalent of President Obama gassing up the cars in the motorcade before. That just, it would never happen. He wouldn't be the one, you know, doing the oil change on the bulletproof limo that he's gonna ride. It would never, ever happen. It's so beneath his station in life. Like that just would never, ever happen. But Paro did that. Ve'asar esrichbo. And again, we're told, Rashi comments, Shasina mikalkelas es hashura, which means that when you have a passion for something, when you have a deep emotional feeling about something, positive or negative, you forget about rules, you forget about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. You're passionate about something, nothing's going to stop you. Paro had a passionate hatred for the Jewish people. He needed to go, Hasina mekalkelas es hashura. So something I was just thinking about, when we say something is mekalkelas es hashura, whether it be sinna, whether it be ahava, and this term, by the way, is described, not only is Paro described this way, Bilam is described this way. So you think, okay, this must be this idea of mekalkelas es hashura, of destroying all sense of order, all semblance of propriety, is something that's specifically reserved for Rishayim. Avraham is described this way, Yosef is described this way, that they forget all sense of propriety because there's some deep emotional attachment. Are we supposed to be that way? Are we supposed to be so emotionally invested that we forget to use our brains and that we think with our hearts? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, when you say that person makes decisions with his heart, you know, they used to make fun of President Bush because President Bush used to say, you know, I make decisions ultimately with my gut. And they used to say, you know, that's not right. You should make decisions with your brain. So do you make decisions with your brain or do you make decisions with your gut? What's the better way to make decisions? So what's the ideal over here? Is Paro doing something terribly wrong, or it's just a terrible way of applying what he's doing? Is this a good thing in general? So I want to share with you a couple of ideas about what it means to be a leader in a Jewish community, specifically when you attach yourself to a mosad, when you attach yourself to a yeshiva, to a shul, to something that's important to you, to a tzedakah organization, because it's going to happen and it should happen. You know, there's a halacha. Someone wanted a halacha. So there's a halacha that when you're giving tzedakah, that aniye ircha kodmi, that the poor people in your city come first. And Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter points out all the time that aniye ircha doesn't just mean the people in your city. What it means is that which you connect to the most. So if you have a family member who, Rachman al-Tzlan, is a cancer survivor, so, you know, Chai Lifeline means something more to you than it does to another person. And that would therefore become aniye ircha. If you learned in Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh and other people didn't, even though you may live at the other end of the earth, this is yeshivas ircha. This is yours. It's yours because you learned here, you grew here, you developed here. Rav Bina didn't pay me to say this, but this is always your yeshiva, and it should always have a certain sense of, you should always have a certain sense of responsibility toward it, because that's what you connect to. So when you connect in a meaningful way to something, and you throw your energy into something, there are, I guess I'll try to break it down to four pieces of advice that a lot of times people forget, that I think are very important, that all of them I learned from, again, the person I'm presumptuous enough to call my friend, but it was really a far greater man, Roby Flegman, Zichrono Levracha, and our learning tonight should be an aliyah for his neshama. First thing is that people who are truly dedicated to a cause should never do so out of looking for kavod for themselves, looking for a sense of respect, looking for, you know, this is mine. So it's not. When things, you know, I remember when things would go not the way people wanted them to go. So people would call up and complain, and they would, you know, they'd throw all sorts of criticism at the leaders of the institution. This fellow, Roby, would never ever act insulted or hurt, at least that I saw it. What did he do? When people would say, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, his immediate reaction was, and this is an important way to take criticism in general, his immediate reaction was, okay, let's see, what can we do to fix it? What can we do to make things better? He'd hear it out, and instead of getting defensive, because that's the way most people react when criticized, and the truth is, you should realize this as you deal with other people. If you have something to say to criticize another person, especially if, God forbid, you ever think that it's called for to criticize your wife, you better couch it under so much love, and there's so many expressions of non-critical ways of saying it, that because the immediate reaction, natural reaction, the person is criticized, is to immediately get defensive. What do you mean? That's not true. And that's not productive. Then it just creates a stalemate. So his immediate reaction was always, okay, let's fix it. What can we do to fix it? He could have said, you know, these morons, they have no appreciation of my hard work, my contributions. Let them come do a better job. And every right to react that way. But that's not ultimately going to be productive. Let's talk. Let's figure out a way to make the yeshiva better. He happened to have built the yeshiva that my kids went to, literally, almost literally. This is a fellow who, you know, was Bala Bas, who ran a successful business, and the night before yeshiva one year, he found out that the classrooms weren't painted properly, and he stayed up all night painting classrooms. You know, that kind of dedication to a yeshiva. And I think maybe that's the difference between the Achdus of Klal Yisrael and the Achdus of Mitzrayim. You see, Klal Yisrael is Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Ki Ish Echad means that we're fundamentally one. We don't always act that way, but we are fundamentally one nation. We come from one God, we live by His Torah, we all have the same source, the same basis for that which we do and for that which motivates us and drives us. And therefore, we'll often be B'Lev Echad also. B'Lev Echad means that we're focused on the same goal, we look like we're going to the same place, that we're trying for the same things, but it's based in a sense of Ki'ish Echad, that we really, really, genuinely are one. The B'Lev Echad is an outgrowth of the Ki'ish Echad. We really have a sense of Achdus, a recognition that we're working for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if a person recognizes that they're working for the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is one of the favorite refrains of one of my great Rebbeim, Rabbi Kamenetsky, is we work for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every time a question would come up in chinuch, in issues, in DRS, it's always, Okay, we work for the Ribbono Shel Olam. What is it? Let's remember here. You know, it was a question of competition. This yeshiva, that yeshiva, this. We work for the Ribbono Shel Olam here. Let's figure out what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. If a person thinks about himself first, you can't think about the Ribbono Shel Olam first. What makes us ki'ish echad is because there's Hashem echad. And we all work for the Hashem echad. So we are all singularly representatives of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why we achieve. When do we achieve that incredible level of unity, that ki'ish echad v'lev echad? We achieve it at Kabbalah Satorah. What happened at Kabbalah Satorah? This incredible sense of Hashras Hashchina. We came closest ever to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There we were, staring the Ribbono Shel Olam in the face. And that's when we experienced that unity, because that's when we realized that we're all from one place. The Mitzrayim are different. They're B'lev Echad Ki Ish Echad. Why are they B'lev Echad? Because they have a common goal often. Sometimes their goals will coincide, but it's almost like a coincidence. So they'll look like they are Ki'ish Echad because they happen to be B'lev Echad at a given moment. B'lev Echad is, you know, we all want to kill the Jewish people. Okay, so it looks like they're Ki'ish Echad, but they're not really Ki'ish Echad. It's not a genuine Ki'ish Echad. It just starts because there's a B'lev Echad. So the order is so critical. So our job, when you become Jewish leaders, is to recognize that the reason we wake up in the morning, the reason we get out of bed in the morning, is not to serve ourselves, it's not to satisfy our every urge, it's to serve the one and only God, Moda Ani Lefanecha, to recognize that when that is the goal, ego will never get in the way, everything will be colored by a sense of Torah, and our voice never has to be heard just because we want to be heard. Our voice, I remember in all the meetings that I had with very important people and some very wealthy people, and again, I apologize, I'm getting emotional about Robbie Flegman, but he was never the loudest voice in the room, but he was always the most important voice in the room, because it was never about expressing his voice or his vision. He gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu a seat at the table, and that's what we have to do. When there's a discussion, we have to be the representatives of the Ribbono Shel Olam, particularly when it comes to leading the Jewish people, whether it be a community, whether it be a personal issue. We have to be, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want? And that's why the greatest leaders in Jewish history had to be the most humble people in Jewish history. It's an amazing thing. I don't think you find this in most cultures, that the people we celebrate most are the people who really didn't want to be celebrated. Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikal Adam. That's what made him great. Because the greater the sense of Anivus, the smaller one makes themselves, the more room there is for the Ribbono Shel Olam to be represented through that person. You know, that's why the Gemara is an expression about a Baal Gaiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein Anivu Hu Yachal Adar B'Olam Achas. That we can't both live in the same world. There's not enough room for the two of us. I mean, the more that a person builds himself up and thinks he's got to be, he's the end-all and be-all, that pushes the Ribbono Shel Olam out of the picture. And that's why Anivus is the most important Midah in general. There's no greater Midah. The Archa Sadikim, my favorite Musar Sefer, and Leo's favorite Musar Sefer, the Archa Sadikim starts out with Shar HaGaiva and Shar HaNava. He says, why do I start out with Shar HaGaiva? Because there are a lot of bad Midos, but there's no Midah that's worse than Gaiva. It is the Avi Avos HaTumah, the worst of all midos, because it's a gateway midah to every other bad midah. We need to leave room for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We need to be the representatives of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But here's the second thing, and this is equally or close to as important. It's important to have passion for something, to be passionate about that which we support, that which those mostos that we believe in. And the truth is that itself is not unique. Your shuls that you daven at home, your yeshiva that you're learning in here, your yeshivas that you went to for high school and for elementary school, were only built because there were passionate people. If someone does these kinds of things, like half-heartedly, they're somewhat into, yeah, it's a good idea, let's build a yeshiva. It flops. It doesn't work. There has to be some crazy passion. Some people who are willing to go well beyond that extra mile to make something like that happen, to make a place, you know, any mosque that ever got built was built on the backs of people who have extraordinary passion. But here's what's unique. First of all, ha'ahava mekalkelas ha'sashura. The love and the passion has to be so great that we never stand on ceremony, that we're willing to do things that are irrational. I'll tell you a story that I heard at the Levaya for Robbie Flegman at the Shiva. His wife told me again. that they were, the family was ready to go on a vacation to Eretz Yisrael. The bags were packed. They were ready to leave their house. The whole family, all ready to go. He gets a phone call. Yeshiva Ketana is not going to make payroll this month. Now this is a man, he's not the richest Jew in Lawrence. He ran a successful business. He's not the richest Jew. He does not have the deep, did not have the deepest pockets of everybody. He gets a phone call, the yeshiva that you give way more than Meiser to is not going to make payroll. And your family's about to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what do you do? Well, I'm one board member. There are like 5-6 other board members. Let them step up. I already gave way more than my Meiser, right? That's what you do. You say, tell people to step up. You know, I'm a little busy right now. I'll call you when I get to Israel. We'll deal with it. No. He turns to his family. We're not going anywhere. We don't go on a vacation when Rebbeim and teachers haven't been paid. Goes to the bank, draws on his home equity line of credit, which is essentially taking like another mortgage on your house, so that the yeshiva can make payroll. Now we can go to Eretz Yisrael if there's still time to make the plane. That's not normal. That's not a normal thing to do. It's not. I acknowledge that. And these are extraordinary acts. But when we're going to be leaders of something, we have to throw lev v'nefesh into it. We have to be completely committed. Ha'ahava mikalkela, says Hashura. Our love has to break any boundaries. But when we're passionate about something, when we throw ourselves into something, you could also end up like a Paro. You could end up like a Bilam. They were passionate. You see, being passionate is not the same as being correct. Remember I said before, should we be thinking with our hearts or should we be thinking with our brains? It's a very tricky thing. We should be motivated by our hearts, and then when the ultimate decisions are made, make sure we're using our brains also. It's a very, very careful balance. People are sometimes passionate about the wrong things. But when we love what is good, when we decide what is good with our brains, and then throw our full hearts into it, that's when we're making the right decisions. But if we decide what is good without using our brains, and we allow passion to infringe on accuracy, and to infringe on what is good and what is right, so that and express passion without the proper thought, you know, a lot of times, like, you get so into something, you're so excited about something, you just can't hear it any other way. And, you know, someone will say, someone will say something that will be critical, and knee-jerk reaction, start yelling. You know, and it could have disastrous results if the heart does all the decision making. No matter how strongly we feel about something, it's always critical to hear everybody out. Anyone who has an opinion that's worth hearing. And it doesn't mean that we should always have a thick skin, we shouldn't feel anything, we should feel everything, internalize any criticism, throw ourselves into something, but never shut our brains off. So far, two things. Anivus, we work for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you work for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Second, a sense of tremendous dedication and passion that's mekalkeles es hashura, but that passion has to start with the brain and then express itself with the heart. Third, we have to broaden our view of chesed. And this applies to you in yeshiva especially. I remember when I was your age, I was learning in yeshiva, and it came time for Musar Seder, and I learned Musar Seder every day with an older chavrusa. When I was Shana Aleph, he was Shana Bet. This chavrusa of mine is now a rabbi in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was a real bal musar. You know, one of these, this may be shocking for you, I was not such a bal musar. I just wanted to, like, learn halacha and gemara and whatever. He was like a real bal musar. And he started, like, you know, we started going at it. He said, I was listening, and he was like, you know, chesed this, and chesed, you got to look out for people. And I'm like, okay, yeah, when I grow up and I become a lawyer and I become really rich, I'll give people money. So he's like, what kind of chesed am I going to do now? I'm in yeshiva. What kind of chesed do you do in yeshiva? And he's like, are you kidding me? What kind of chesed do you do in yeshiva? He's like, you know that kid from, I was learning in a Hesder yeshiva in Karen Biavni, he said, you know that kid from Denver who like grew up super yeshivish and has no idea how he ended up in Karen Biavni and doesn't know a single soul? Like, don't you think maybe he could use a friend and a hello and a warm smile and and going out of your way for him? What about the kid from Montreal who could barely read Hebrew and somehow he ended up in Karen Biavni? And don't you think, and he also doesn't know his soul, don't you think he could use a little bit of chizik? What about, all the svarim that need to be put away in the Beis Medrash when everyone is pushing each other out of the way at the one day a week when the yeshiva serves a meal that people like, you guys can't relate to it, you always have good food here. But the one, and everyone's, how about just like backing up and doing something for other people? Are you kidding me? There's always chesed. Broaden the view of chesed. A lot of times people associate, maybe this is only five towns machla, but I think people associate chesed with money. And money is important, it's true, it does a lot. It does a lot of chesed. Things can't, this yeshiva, and no yeshiva could be built without it. But that's not the only way to do chesed, and that's not the only way to commit yourself to an institution. Robi Flugman used to have a thing where he would host any rabbanim that were coming from Eretz Yisrael to collect, they would stay in his house, hot meal, good company, always have an open door policy to them. And that gave them the energy to do what they needed to do. Deepest pockets, no. But always willing to help. Always there to be there for people. And then a fourth thing. And this may sound self-serving. But you should love rabbis. What I mean by that is not only love the rabbis who, are in your hashkafic camp. That look like you would imagine your rabbi would look like. You should love rabbis based on them being representatives of the Torah that they learned, based on their midos, based on their connection to Klal Yisrael. Your house should be a meeting place for chachamim. Doesn't just mean the chachamim that you would most closely associate with. One of the things I saw at the shiva for my friend Robi Flugman was that sitting right next to each other at the shiva, even though this isn't the broadest range, but Rabbi Kenny Hain from Beth Shalom and Rabbi Naftali Yeager from Shar Yashiv, and they both felt very, very close to him because he loved both of them. And his wife said, my husband loved you. Why do you love both? Because they're both really good rabbis. They're both really good people who are really serving Klal Yisrael. And he made sure to connect to anybody that's like that. Without judging, this one represents the YU world, and this one represents, the yeshiva world, this one represents the Hasidic world, this one. If they're in it to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's someone that I want to connect to. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to ask all your shailas to every different rabbi and get 8,000 different answers. But to love and to connect to and to respect, make sure it's about things that are real and things that matter. A lot of times people respect rabbis that represent what my hashkafos are. And some of those rabbis are great and have great midos, and others don't have such great midos. Well, the ones that don't have such great midos aren't necessarily worthy of our respect. But the ones that do have great midos and the ones that are real loyal servants to the Ribbono Shel Olam, those friendships are going to be, and those relationships are going to be crucial to us. It's important, Rabbi Kamenetsky says at every DRS graduation, I don't know if you guys graduated from, those who graduated from DRS, you probably don't even remember what he said, but yeah, I'll tell you that he says at every single DRS graduation, find yourself a rabbi, find yourself a rebbe, whether it be a shul rabbi, whether it be one of your high school rabbis, and I'm going to tell you, don't find yourself a rebbe, find yourself lots of rebbe, and stay connected to all of them. Decisions that I've had to make in my life over the last 25 years could not have happened without my relationship with my high school Rebbe, Rabbi Kamenetsky, my 10th grade Rebbe, without my Rebbe from Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Silver, without my Rebbe from post-Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shechter, could not have happened. Each of those relationships is so valuable. And so again, if you're going to work for the Jewish community, you're going to be a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to leave you with four messages again, just to repeat, the four messages that I learned from Robi Flegman's Zichrono Livracha, and this shmuz should be Lilui Nishmaso. Number one, you work for the Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't work for yourself. It's always about the Ribbono Shalom, and therefore you have to have a profound sense of anivus. Number two, you have to have a passion, but that passion has to be tempered by intellect. It has to be tempered by thinking and by doing what's constructive and not just what you feel at any given moment. Number three, you have to broaden your view of chesed. We all have to broaden our view of chesed. It's not just about money. It's about a kind word. It's about a smile. We spoke about this morning during davening, a smile to a person, making a person feel good, bringing happiness to other people. And number four, connect to Rabbanim, love your Rabbanim, and always look to them for guidance and for help in making all your life's decisions. All right, we'll open